But however, WJFF is here. Please stay tuned for Now and Then.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from the Holy Antique Exchange, 8,000 square feet of antiques and collectibles for decorating, collecting, and gift-giving, haexchange.com, and from the generosity of the Pratt Hines Foundation.
I'm Kathy Geary, and this is Now and Then. Today's program, we're going to be listening to the music of the American West Coast singer, songwriter, producer, and musical genius, Brian Wilson.
I'm listening for the rhythm of the morning beat. I'll listen.
Wilson, that lucky old son. Brian Wilson, you know, I thought for our winter blues today, you know, we've got freezing rain, we've got sleet. I thought it might just be a wonderful program to bask in the golden sun of the California West Coast American rock and roll that Brian Wilson is such a signature. He was one of the founding members of the Beach Boys, and you can recognize that vocal style that he has. The Lucky Old Son was just released in September of 2008, and it's his most recent compositions. You know, Brian Wilson, actually, I just discovered that we have the same birthday. He was born on June 20th, but he's a little bit older than I am. He was born in 1942, and he was raised about 5 miles from the Pacific Ocean in a small town in California, Hawthorne, California, which is like in the Los Angeles urban area. And his father tells a story that when he was only 2 years old, that he heard a recording of George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, and somehow his musical abilities became evident at that age. Somehow that Gershwin music did something to him, and he was very talented as a young man. When he's 7 or 8 years old, he's singing solos with his church choir, you know. And so his father really encourages him as a young man to develop as a musician. When he's in high school, he's a really popular kid in high school. He's on the football team. He's the quarterback. He plays baseball, and he's a cross-country runner. He's like the all-American high school kid. But most of the energy in high school was directed towards music. He's actually taking music classes in school, and he's starting to, he's given some lessons on an accordion when he's really young. And he starts to perform and sing at all these high school functions, and he's starting to sing with his family at home, his brothers, Carl and Dennis Wilson. And what he would do is he would teach his brothers these harmony parts. You know, they're all supposed to be going to sleep, and instead they're up in their room practicing three-part harmonies, and he's playing the piano obsessively after school, and he's really inspired by the Four Freshmen, and that's kind of how he develops his own personal vocal arrangements. He sits down and he plays their records. Like, he'll play 5 or 10 seconds of it, and he'll sit at the keyboard and he'll figure out note for note what they were singing. And the other thing about his teenage years, his father gets him a tape recorder on his 16th birthday. So, you know, that's like in 1959. I mean, that's really early. And he begins recording home recordings, and he becomes a quite an expert at how to record. So, how did they start their band? He's playing in high school and doing all this stuff, all right? He writes his very first song when he's 19 years old in 1961, right? And that summer, his parents took a vacation out of town, and they left some money behind in case, you know, there was any problems. So while his parents are out of town, these boys go out and they rent a guitar amplifier, a microphone, and a stand-up bass. And they start recording at home on their tape recorder. And when his father comes home, man, they were a little upset. Until he heard the recording. And then he gets real excited. His father decides that he's going to do everything he can to make this group happen, and he becomes their manager. And sure enough, they record their very first song on this tiny little label called the Candix label. And it's released there locally, and it becomes a top 10 hit there locally in Los Angeles. And, you know, that leads to them recording some more demos, and they finally get signed to Capitol Records. Capitol Records. They signed to Capitol Records in the middle of 1962, and they released their very first series of singles, and it's all surfing songs. It's all surfing songs. The first single is Surfing Safari on one side, and on the other side is 409, 409, She's So Fine. So their very first songs are real simple rock and roll songs, either about girls and surfing on one side of the single, and then about cars on the other side of the single. And they release a whole series of fantastically successful singles on Capitol Records. And so I thought we need to hear some of this music. It's wonderful. So let's listen to that very first single, Surfin' Safari. This is Brian Wilson's composition, his arrangement, and he's the producer of every recording they ever made. He's the producer. Here we go. Brian Wilson.
Let's go surfing now, everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. Come on a safari with me.
Early in the morning we'll be starting out. Some honeys will be coming along. We're loading up our woody with our boards inside and heading out singing our song.
Come on baby, wait and see.
Yes, I'm gonna take you surfing with me.
Shut it off.
Brian Wilson with the Beach Boys. Surfer Girl was actually the very first song that he ever wrote. He was 19 years old when he wrote that, but he didn't record it until a couple of years later with the Beach Boys. And these recordings were actually produced by Brian Wilson. It's really unusual for someone in a rock band to have that much control over the recording. But, you know, not only was he a songwriter, but he began recording at a very early age. And he started to actually double track vocals on that recording. That's where the same person sings the same vocal and you hear both versions at the same time. That was a really unique approach, and he uses it on all of the Beach Boys recordings from this point out. So about this time, 1963, 1964, the Beatles show up in America. And you know, there was a lot of times that the Beach Boys would have a single that would be climbing up the charts, but it wouldn't make it to number one because the Beatles were sitting on number one and Bob Dylan was sitting on number two. So the Beach Boys were like almost getting to number one. And so the Beatles come to America. You know, and Brian is listening and he's getting a lot of ideas and he's getting really inspired. And the very first single that they release after the Beatles come to America is called I Get Around. And it's more complicated. You know, you'll be able to hear it. It's a more sophisticated arrangement. You know, even though it's still talking about, you know, teenage issues, it's a lot more a sophisticated piece of music. And it's the very first time that they finally get to number one in the United States. And it also goes straight to the top of the charts in England, in the UK, in July of 1964. And then they release shortly after that another song called Dance, Dance, Dance. And what I want you to hear in this is, you know, Brian Wilson, the producer, was really, he idolized Phil Spector. And Phil Spector had this type of sound called the wall of sound. So when you hear this recording, Dance, 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 you really hear how Wilson totally picks up on that legendary wall of sound from Phil Spector. So let's listen to these 1964, these two Beach Boy recordings by Brian Wilson. I Get Around and then Dance, Dance, Dance. Brian Wilson.
Round, round, get around. I get around.
Yeah,
get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
It's never been beat, and we've never missed yet with the girls we meet. None of the guys go steady, cause it wouldn't be right to leave your best girl home on a Saturday night. I get around.
Wilson with the Beach Boys, American rock and roll in the 60s. So, you know, Brian Wilson, it's a complicated situation for him. His music career is all tied up with his family. You know, it's the two brothers, Carl and Dennis Wilson, and his cousin, Mike Love, are really doing all the vocals in the Beach Boys. His father's managing, and you know, there's a lot of sibling rivalry. There's a lot of conflict going on. Brian is at the heart of the creative process. He's the one who's writing. He's the one who's doing all the vocal arranging. And he's actually a very sensitive man, a very sensitive and somewhat fragile person. And he has a nervous breakdown about this time after the songs that we just heard in December of 1964. And I have a quote. He talks about it, you know, the high level of creativity and everything. And they're touring and they're becoming international stars. And it's an insane time in the rock and roll world. And what Brian says is, quote, "I was run down mentally and emotionally. I was running around jumping on jets from one city to another, one night stands, producing, arranging, singing, planning, teaching, to the point where I had no peace of mind and I had no chance to actually sit down and rest or think." So he's on an airplane flying back to Texas, and he just has a nervous breakdown. And he pulls back from the touring schedule, and he pulls back into a little bit more of a reclusive situation. But, you know, it doesn't deter his creativity. What happens from this point on is the rest of the guys are on tour, and he's back home in the studio, and he continues ceaselessly to write songs and to arrange and produce all their records. He starts to record all of the instrumental tracks while everyone else is gone. So basically, he's doing the whole album. And then they'd come off the road, and he'd kind of hustle them into the studio to add the vocals to the finished tracks. So now that he's free to completely focus on his songwriting, it just gets to be an amazing thing. So let's hear a couple of songs from 1965. Help Me Rhonda from June of 65. And then one of my favorites, California Girls, which was released in July of 1965. So the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, Help Me Rhonda, and California Girls.
Well, since she put me down, I've been out doing in my head. I come in late at night, and in the morning I just lay in bed. But Ronnie, you look so fine,
looks so
and
fine.
I know it wouldn't take much time for you to
heart.
Help me, Ronnie, help me get her out of my heart.
Help me, Ronnie, help, help me, Ronnie. 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 Help me, Ronnie, yeah, get her out of my heart. She was gonna be my wife and I was gonna be her man.
Come on, Ronnie.
But she let another guy come between us and share my plan.
Come on, Ronnie.
Well, Ronnie, you caught my eye, and I can give you lots of reasons why. You gotta help me, Ronnie, help me get her out of my heart. Help me, Ronnie, help, help me, Ronnie. Help me, Ronnie, help, help me, Ronnie. Help me, Ronnie, help, help me, Ronnie. Help me, Ronnie.
Wilson with the Beach Boys. That was California Girls from August in 1965. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF Radio Catskill. And we're exploring the West Coast music of Brian Wilson here in the middle of a sleety, a cold, snowy, wintry day. We're reaching out for the sunshine of the American rock and roll that Brian Wilson is such an important, a signature person in the American rock and roll sound. So, you know, here it is 1965 and the Beatles. The Beatles are recording, and they just release, at the end of 65, the Beatles record Rubber Soul, an incredible Beatles album. So, you know, Brian Wilson is incredibly inspired. And in late 65, he begins writing the music for the 1966 Beach Boys album called Pet Sounds. Pet Sounds. Yeah, we're about to listen to some of this. You know, arguably, it's really a Brian Wilson solo album, really. I mean, he writes all of the music, he does all of the arrangements, he plays a lot of the instruments, and then he brings the guys in and they record, their vocal, parts. But the rest of the guys in the band, especially his cousin Mike Love, you know, they didn't like the songs that he'd written for Pet Sounds. Wouldn't It Be Nice, and God Only Knows What I'd Be Without You. Amazing songs. But the rest of the guys are kind of reluctant to do the recording. But they come around, and when they're done, they started to like it by the time they were done. But you know, this album, Pet Sounds, from 1966, it's been ranked as one of the most influential records in all of Western pop music. In fact, the Rolling Stone, you know, they're always publishing these lists. Well, they've got a list of the greatest, the 500 greatest albums of all time, you know, and that's the 2010 Rolling Stones list. Pet Sounds is ranked number 2 on the list. An incredibly influential album. And, you know, there's this influence going back and forth between the Beatles and Brian Wilson. So after the Beatles hear this album, Pet Sounds, then they respond with their Revolver album, which they release in August of 66. So Pet Sounds was released in March of 1966. And let's listen to 3 songs from that recording. The Sloop John B. Was actually a Caribbean song, a song from the Caribbean. And it was actually one of the songs that Brian had recorded when he very first got his tape recorder. You know, I said he was 16 when he got his first tape recorder. And that was the Sloop John B. was one of the very first things he recorded at home singing with his family. So I think it's incredible that it shows up on this masterpiece album. And then we'll be listening to the two other tracks, Wouldn't It Be Nice, followed by the hauntingly beautiful God Only Knows What I'd Be Without You. So here we go, Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys, 1966, Pet Sounds.
We come on the sloop, John B., my grandfather and me, around.
The first mate, he got drunk, he broke in stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
God only knows what I'd be without.
God only knows what.
The Beach Boys, 1966 landmark album, Pet Sounds. There was a song that he was working on while they were recording that album, but he didn't want to release it with the album because he just didn't feel like it was complete. And this is a song called Good Vibrations. And the techniques that he used in recording this song, Good Vibrations, it set a new level of what you could do in the studio. It was recorded in multiple sessions in all these different recording studios. In 1966, this one song, Good Vibrations, cost $50,000 to record. And he spent 6 months working on this one song, Good Vibrations. It was released in October 1966, and it was went right to number one. So let's listen to this Brian Wilson composition, Good Vibrations, from 1966.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up
softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
She's by my
with the Beach Boys, Good Vibrations. I hope that's helping you here on this winter, snowy winter day. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. So, Good Vibrations, October 1966. That's really the last single that really goes anywhere for the Beach Boys. That's an incredible recording. It's an amazing album. He starts to work with session musicians, and the other guys in the band just don't get it. In fact, Mike Love called that song, Good Vibrations, avant-garde caca, is what he called it. They just couldn't understand it. You know, they'd come from this surfer music all the way to this beautiful and complicated musical structure, and they just couldn't understand it. But the Good Vibrations was such a successful recording that Capitol was, you know, they just had to go ahead and move on to another album. And they start to work on this album called Smile. And the Beatles, at the same time, are working on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And Paul McCartney plays a tape of the Sgt. Pepper song for Brian Wilson out in Los Angeles. Paul McCartney plays him a copy of A Day in the Life from the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's. And somehow this really affects, he was deeply affected by the song when Brian Wilson heard this song. And they're recording the Smile sessions, and it's just not going well. The tensions in the band are getting more and more ugly. And the Beach Boys actually start to sue Capitol Records. Everything just falls apart. And the album was supposed to be released in April of 67, and they just canceled the release. So things are not good in the Beach Boys' world. A few of the band members walk out, and they retreat in 1967 to Brian Wilson's mansion. And they quickly finish up the songs for the album Smile, and they release it as an album called Wild Honey. And Brian's brother Carl takes over the production efforts, and the Beach Boys record a couple of more albums in 1968 and 1970. Friends, but by the end of the 1970s, they've pretty much broken up. And already a fragile man, Brian Wilson descends into a long tunnel of darkness. He has a schizophrenia. He is prescribed heavy doses of antipsychotics, and he goes through a very deep and long emotional tunnel. He continues to write music, and he starts to come out the other end of this dark time in his life in the mid-90s. And as he slowly regains his ability to move through the world and to sing and to compose, he finishes the Smile recording album in 2004, and he writes some of his first original new music and releases the incredible album called That Lucky Old Sun in September of 2008. And it is a rise like the phoenix from the ashes, an amazing recording. We're going to be listening to a couple more tracks from that. So he's back on stable ground again. He's touring. He's recording. He had a TV cameo in February 2005. He was on that TV series, The Duck Dodgers in the 24th Century. He, in 2005, he was also in one of these Extreme Makeover Home Editions. He arranges a charity drive for the Katrina victims, the Hurricane Katrina victims, in September of 2005. And anyone who donates $100 or more gets a personal phone call from him. He raises $250,000 that way. So it's an incredible album, That Lucky Old Sun. It's a real return to form, and it's a real powerful triumph statement for him. So I'd like to listen to two tracks called Going Home, a real rockin' number, and then a tribute to his homeland, Southern California, from Brian Wilson's Lucky Old Sun album.
I'm going home. I'm going home, home, back to the place, home.
belong. Long piece of mine.
On December 2nd in 2007, the Kennedy Center Honors Committee recognized Brian Wilson for a lifetime of contributions to American culture through the performing arts and music. You know, and also in 2000, Brian Wilson was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and Paul McCartney introduced him. And what Paul McCartney said, quote, "One of the great American geniuses." I hope you've enjoyed today's program. I'm Kathy Geary. You've been listening to Now and Then. Thank you so much for listening.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from the Holy Antique Exchange, 8,000 square